Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 44 with me, John Jordan. And joining me this week is blockchaingamer.biz editor James. How's it going, James?
All good, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, good. It's been actually quite a long time since we chatted together, hasn't it? Time has flown. What have you been up to in recent weeks?
For the most part, really. I mean, both you and I have been at a couple of conferences. So you got to go to Crypto Games Conference in Minsk, and I got to go to the Blockchain Expo in London. So while I was there, I got to meet briefly Vlad from DMarket. We got to do a little bit of a podcast. That's coming up in the foreseeable future. But other than that, I mean, it's just been keeping abreast of everything that's been going on in the blockchain space. But I mean, how was the Crypto Games Conference? Because I think you've been doing a couple of talks.
Yeah. You know, I gave a talk on the business case for blockchain games. I always, with the talk, once I've done it, I always kind of think I could have done that and improved it. I think a few people said they enjoyed it and made them think. So I guess that's the most you can hope for from a talk. Yeah, it was a good conference. It was 2 days. I was only there for the first day. A few familiar faces, a few new people to kind of chat to. And I think always with those kind of conferences, even if there's no kind of standout headline stuff, you get a idea about kind of trends and that kind of thing. So I think a certain games is kind of positive. I think we're starting to see a little bit now kind of the companies who are thinking more deeply and who are kind of building their products out in a way that is encouraging their player base, and we're starting to see a little bit the companies that were just building product kind of for its own sake, or games for their own sake. So interesting. But what's been going on this week? We are a kind of news focused podcast sometimes. So there's an interesting game based around a milk dairy product that's coming up.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's a bit more unbelievable than anything else, which is a god-awful pun. And it's only painful in retrospect. When you do it, it's perfectly fine. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that showed up on our Telegram group at about 1 o'clock in the morning, so seems like a good cheesing hour, was Cheese Wizards, and that was from Benny Jiang. And for those that go ahead and visit the website, they get some, well, they get the whole magical process of watching how cheese is made. So that's all we can see right now, along with a very surreal-looking advert with a cow that drinks milk, drinks water, and then pumps out a little bit of milk. So
it looks like a total like scam, isn't it? When I saw it on Twitter, someone said from the makers of CryptoKitties, Cheese Wizards, and it says on Twitter, it's this horrible kind of graphic. I mean, it looks like it's a scam. And then, as you say, you get the website, cheese, spelled with a Z, cheesewizards.com, and it's just a video of, like a 1950s video of kind of an industrial process of making cheese. And it says, say cheese, and then you have to put in your email and your Twitter, and they might give you early access at some point. I mean, it does say from the makers of CryptoKitties, but what do you... Can you make any sense of it?
I mean, cheese is universal, but quite honestly, there are some things that just... I think don't translate, but it would be interesting to see just what on earth they plan on doing with this one. I mean, as you stay on the website for longer, you'll find that right at the top of the screen, there's just that slow moving, like cheese animation.
I'm looking at it. Cheese is dripping down my screen. What happens if you get to the bottom, do you think? Do you think something is triggered?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm morbidly curious now, and I feel like I've committed to something here, so I feel like I have to stay on it now to see what goes on.
How far down the screen is your cheese?
Oh god, it's only just begun. It's literally right at the top. But
have you signed up for the game yet?
I have, yeah. So I think one of the things that you can do is once you click on early access, there's a social media bit of advertising that they're working on where you share a referable link and it pushes you further up the wait list. I think it's the top 50 that get to have early access to it, lucky souls. But it's a really strange one. But when you think about the kind of other sorts of viral advertising, and I think the YouTube video that came up for CryptoKitties a while ago, this doesn't really seem too out of character for their team.
I've literally no idea. Okay. Well, we'll wait to see what happens with Cheese Wizards. The only thing it seems to be they want your Twitter handle, and they when you sign up, it says that's where the fun starts. So clearly, it's going to be a kind of very viral based kind of project, I imagine, rather than anything particularly serious. Could be wrong on that, but Cheese Wizards doesn't sound to me like a particularly serious game. But maybe CryptoKitties wasn't and became, you know, has continued to be a big success.
If you're going to approach a blockchain game, then yeah, make it viral as hell. Go onto social media, because that's one thing that I think some blockchain titles tend to have challenges with, is to really market themselves out there. But I mean, there's a difference between like viral marketing for a specific like game concept and then something like this, where it's just, it has you very much in a lost sort of scenario.
Mm. Well, should we move on to something a bit more concrete from the makers of CryptoKitties? CryptoKitties, in fact. So what's going on in the world of CryptoKitties? There has been some interesting developments. There's always interesting stuff going on, but maybe more significant than is often the case.
Yeah, they've entered prestige mode, and that's more of a genetic sort of thing rather than like prestige mode. But they've introduced a new lineup of attributes, like genetic features that you can have on your various crypto keys.
And is it something new that they've put in, or is it just, I think the artwork's new, tends to be the case. I don't think it's a, because there's a mixture of regular and hidden traits. So the visible traits are ones you can search for, and then there's these...
Yeah, in order to make sure that they're fully visible to the user, you have to have access to a third-party mod that allows you to see them. So in doing that, in order to get a hold of any of these prestige attributes or elements to your kitty, you have to have the right kind of combination of both visible and invisible traits, which makes these mods... Which, I mean, it seems pretty valid in that sort of sense to call them prestige in that sort of sense, because they're hard to get a hold of.
But I guess what's more interesting or more significant, because obviously there's been lots of CryptoKitty breeding kind of competitions. They're all kind of RoboKitty. It's a RoboKitty set. I think it's 7 in total, isn't it? But then it's saying they will. Let me find it on the website. So it will say these traits are interoperable and will unlock pawsome. This kind of punny stuff is awful. Will unlock awesome features in other dApps and blockchain experiences. So. I guess we've seen a little bit of interoperability with CryptoKitties, mainly coming from other developers using CryptoKitties. And I guess we've seen some official stuff where we had the Gods Unchained statue stuff a couple of months ago. But this looks like this RoboKitty trait thing seems a bit more of a significant push from them, in the sense that if you can create these CryptoKitties or buy them, then there's going to be a kind of a deeper platform approach to other dApps and blockchain experiences. Maybe Cheese Wizards, who knows? But probably a bit more seriously than that, that there is this kind of idea of interoperability. Because I think when people talk about blockchain games, and certainly when I was kind of getting into it, there was this interoperability was spoken about quite a lot. And I think we've seen over kind of the year since then, a year and a half, whatever, that it's pretty hard to do in anything other than a superficial way. Can you think of any good interoperability features or games that have done that well?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, honestly, because I think we're seeing a lot more of a broader push by games developers to introduce interoperability. But when it comes to real use cases, there aren't really many that come off the top of my head. I mean, CryptoKitties is certainly an interesting one with its applications to Gods Unchained, but we're still in very early stages for that one.
There was that, actually, so just thinking, there was that one, was it yesterday, that engine one, wasn't there?
Stormbreaker, yeah. It's a multiverse integrated item, so it has different manifestations depending on which kind of game that you see it in. So they dropped a trailer about a couple of days ago, which demonstrated in, I think, Nine Lives Arena, Age of Rust, God, there's a couple of other titles where it makes an appearance, but it ranges anywhere from like a visible shield to like a gigantic protective barrier in Age of Rust. It's really interesting in concept, but I mean, it would be great to see that more fleshed out as we can actually play on these titles.
What we're starting to see kind of coming out is interoperability, I suppose, as a concept can be almost like hard interoperability or soft interoperability. So the whole point of the engine multiverse, and they've gone down this very kind of hard approach that it's kind of their, you know, their multiverse, and I don't know if officially you need to kind of partner up with them officially to get access to it or not, but there's very much an approach where it's kind of like a kind of controlled, a centralized approach. And that, in a sense, you know, hopefully will provide better outcome in some degree, because they're kind of formalizing with developers how these interoperable items will work across all these games. And obviously something like a shield kind of work, you know, you can kind of get that to work in every game, I guess. Something like a sword is harder in some games, don't have swords, but then it's a gun, and then you're kind of losing some of the experience, I suppose. But then the other view of interoperability is something more like a CryptoKitties, where it's a much softer approach, I think. I mean, obviously, we don't really know the details, so it's kind of hard to judge. But I think you can have that approach kind of gives you a more playful kind of palette in how developers do this interoperability. And obviously, with CryptoKitties, some people seem to have done it just, well, the Kittyverse is a kind of official channel now, but some people have just done it unofficially and just kind of integrated kitties on their own. And that's, now, I guess that speaks more to the vision of blockchain and decentralization, that you have just have these assets knocking around and anyone can kind of do what they like with them. Probably somewhere between those two extremes is you want a bit of order, but equally you do want people to have the freedom to do stuff. I think it is, like a lot of things with blockchain games, it is interesting conceptually, but how it actually pans out into products is harder to do and more significant in the long term, really. And that relies on developers' imagination.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have a title that makes use of interoperability in a softer or hardcore way, but it's another if you can't like push it out there properly.
And I guess kind of combining these things, or not necessarily Cheese Wizards, which is standing out as the kind of outlier in this podcast, is Dapper Labs. Dapper Labs is the kind of spin-off from CryptoKitties. So CryptoKitties is originally developed by Axion Zen, the company in Vancouver, and then they kind of created Dapper Labs as a kind of spin-off. I don't quite know the ownership structure, but Dapper Labs raised a whole bunch of money. Can't remember how much it was, like, was it $15 million or whatever, to kind of be the kind of blockchain game kind of entity there. What they are just launching now, so it's kind of a public beta, I suppose, is this thing called Dapper, which is broadly put a improvement on MetaMask. So MetaMask being the Ethereum-based kind of ID wallet system that a lot of these games, including CryptoKitties, have kind of used. And in fact, CryptoKitties kind of popularized MetaMask. But MetaMask has lots of problems in terms of it's a proper blockchain wallet. So you go through the whole kind of signing up process and you have to remember 12 words and write them down. And if you lose them, you lose all your stuff. There's no recovery mechanic there. So what Dapper is similar. I mean, so I was messing around with it last night, actually. So it's a Chrome extension. So you operate it very much like MetaMask. But when you sign up, you create an email and a password, and you verify the email and it asks for your phone number and sends a code through that. So it creates like a real, links into a real world ID. But then what will happen is it's kind of, as I say, it's kind of going through the process of being launched at the moment, is that's going to kind of act as like a platform, metaverse, who knows what the right term is. But I'm looking at the website here. So they've announced they've kind of integrating with Ethereumon and Decentraland and MyCryptoHeroes. And if you're using the Dapper, I don't know what you call it, wallet. I don't know, it's probably the wrong term for it. But if you're using the Dapper extension, we'll say, you get free gas if you're in those worlds, which is kind of interesting because gas is something that's always confused people when they start in blockchain, I think, or on Ethereum. And also kind of exclusive items and airdrops and stuff. So we're kind of seeing, again, this is a similar sort of thing. This is, again, kind of interoperability in a different way. It's kind of interoperability from a kind of a wallet ID system sort of thing. And I would be amazed if this doesn't also link into what's going on with the RoboKitty traits. So I think we can get a strong idea that the RoboKitties will also have some sort of impact in Ethereumon and Decentraland and MyCryptoHeroes. Do you think something like Dapper as a kind of a wallet ID system is going to win out, or are you kind of quite happy with your MetaMask, James?
I'd honestly have to say that we need to see more from Dapper Labs, but the sort of features that it has available to it in its early iteration right now is definitely what the community needs. There needs to be something that is far more streamlined. It takes a bit more of the onus off the player, because I mean, that's one of the things that really drew, that hoiked me about MetaMask, is that
hoiked you,
a weird word, right? it's something that really annoyed me about MetaMask is that you have to like validate all these transactions, you have to switch over to various networks in order to play like different alphas and betas to secure transactions. And it's something that just turns off the average player, especially one if you're trying to get a hold of a mainstream gamer. It's just not an answer if you have to get them through so many convoluted steps. So I'm glad to see that Dapp has set itself up in order to really answer that, to really redress that problem. But as you previously mentioned with the issue that you'd had with getting digital assets off MetaMask and onto Dapper, that's a growing pain that they need to deal with in order to get people onboarded onto this new system. But one that's interoperable like that, I certainly think is a good solution.
Yeah, I should maybe explain that. So we were talking before the podcast, and so I signed up to Dapper last night. I had a bit of kind of issues getting it to work, but then it was fine. But then when I went back to CryptoKitties and I was logged into Dapper, obviously nothing in my Dapper wallet. So it kind of saw me as a new user and was trying to get me to stop playing CryptoKitties. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll just log out of Dapper and go back in with MetaMask. So I logged out of Dapper and then it said, oh, do you want to use Dapper to log in to CryptoKitties? And I was like, no. And I couldn't work out how to log in to CryptoKitties with my MetaMask, which is where all my CryptoKitties are. So I was like, oh, this is not, I mean, this is obviously it's a beta, so I'm sure that kind of stuff will be sorted out. Dapper is designed for people who haven't used MetaMask. I mean, that's kind of the thing. So I guess I'm a kind of an edge case to that degree. And what is really interesting, I guess, in terms of people who've never used blockchain stuff is one of the big issues or one of the kind of pain points is this writing down your recovery phrase, which is just very odd. It's a very odd thing. And Dapper has this nice thing that it has this security that you're just using an email and a password. But if you lose your password, you can get like a standard, I forgot my password link. In fact, I did do that. I had to use that straight away, embarrassingly, to reset my password. But it's not a centralized system. So the Dapper Labs people can't get access to your keys or anything like that. So it's a nice, we're kind of seeing a few of these solutions. I think Samsung, the S10, has a recovery system where you've set up five friends and each of them have a certain access to some information, and you need three of them to let you recover your wallet. So that's a different way of doing a social aspect. But it is nice that we are seeing these kind of more kind of smart ways of not keeping good security, but making it flow within the kind of user experience that people expect on the internet and not get very complicated. So I think it's interesting. I think Dapper is also coming to iOS and Android. So obviously that kind of helps out as well. From that point of view, everyone's on mobile really. So obviously the CryptoKitty people have been pretty quiet for the last year or so. They've obviously been very busy. And Cheese Wizards will take over the world. What's going on with Cheese Wizards? It's going to take a long time for this cheese. Oh, is it stopped? Has your cheese stopped? Oh, no, it's still going. My cheese is still going. It's going to take hours to get to the bottom. I'm not going to be bothered to wait for the Cheese Wizards. Okay, any concluding thoughts, James?
Other than that, we're steadily being absorbed by this sort of cheese-like Borg, both from a very virtual and a social media aspect. I mean, we're seeing some really interesting innovations in the gaming space. And one thing I had been saying on, I think, a Blockchain Brain Trust piece was that blockchain game projects are steadily becoming more and more observant of what they need to do in order to really captivate a larger audience. So with the likes of like Dapper Labs and this Cheese Wizards thing, it's good to see that they are steadily getting the idea, and we're seeing a lot more advancement over this year. But whether that takes across the broad demographic of the blockchain game developer space remains to be seen.
Well, on that note, I think say thank you, James, for being on the podcast again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for listening. Come back next week. Don't forget to subscribe, obviously. Come back next week and find out what are we talking about in the wonderful world of blockchain games. See if we've cracked any Cheese Wizard Easter eggs. Can you have a cheese Easter egg? I'm sure in Holland they probably do, but I'm not sure that tastes very nice. I'm not sure my children would like to have an Easter egg and open it inside the BB lump of cheese. But maybe there's... I've been eating too much cheese, clearly. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. You can find me on Twitter at BlockchainGMG, and you can find James on Twitter at... what are you, James? BCGBIZ. That's right. You can find James on that. So thanks for listening.